Welcome back to our December 2021 podcast series, The Gift of Information. I'm Doria Fleischer, your Charles County Community Engagement Coordinator. As many of us scramble to make sure we have our holiday shopping done, Charles County government wants to give you a gift that we feel really strongly about, the gift of information. We live in a fast-paced world where data is flying at us through our computers and phones all the time. Having access to online information quickly and readily at our fingertips is a great luxury in the 21st century. However, it is important to know when the internet is working for you and when it is working against you. Keep listening to find out what you can do to keep yourself and your loved ones safe with the gift of information. This episode, the last of three in the series, will focus on how you can give your children the gift of information this holiday season, teaching your kids to avoid misinformation, stay safe, and be a good virtual citizen. I am really happy we can share this information with you now, as our schools will be closed soon for winter break, and our Charles County youth will be home and potentially spending more time in front of the computer for the next few weeks. If you missed the first two episodes in the series, please feel free to listen now. You can find episodes 1 and 2 by searching Charles County Government wherever you find your podcasts. I'm thrilled that we have Charmaine Thompson, the Chief of Instructional Technology with Charles County Public Schools, joining us today. Charmaine is a wealth of information in creating opportunities for youth to have access to technology, and also, unfortunately, a frequent witness to youth becoming victims of misinformation shared online. Charmaine, thank you for being with us today to share ways that our youngest Charles County residents can be informed and safe while being on the internet.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm genuinely happy to be here today. You can never provide too much information on keeping children safe online.
I want to start by congratulating you on making it to winter break. As someone who used to work in the schools, I know the amazing feeling that comes for our students and our staff when schools close for a few days and we can all take some deep breaths and enjoy lazy mornings and pajama days at home.
Certainly. Winter break is certainly an exciting time for many to take a few days off from work and school just to enjoy family. Unfortunately, a lot of cybercrime happens around the holidays, so we always have to stay vigilant.
Can I start by just asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself and what your responsibilities are as the Chief of Instructional Technology for Charles County Public Schools?
Sure. In my role, I oversee the entire technology department by serving as a conduit between technology and the instructional department. These two areas intersect a lot, and then there is a lot of gray areas. So my job is to truly make those gray areas clear so that the instructional department understands the rules that govern technology, as well as my technology department understands the rules that govern instruction. And we pretty much partner with them in order to make the instructional technology environments best for our students, also for our teachers. My role is to make clear these gray areas to ensure everyone understands the rules that govern our technology department as the rules that govern our instructional department. And we also provide education and training on those tools.
Excellent. And Charmaine, you are a mother as well, yes?
Yes. I have 2 teenage boys and a 6-year-old girl.
Excellent. So you are surrounded by youth on the internet at home and at work.
Absolutely.
I want to start with some positive stuff here. Can you tell our listeners about some of the best things about our youth growing up in a world that has such a heavily virtual aspect?
There are so many amazing things about students growing up in this virtual world. For instance, they have so much information at their fingertips. Any topic, any issue, any problem, any song they want to hear, all they have to go and just Google it, and it's right there. It also reduces the barriers to education and collaborating. Now our students can collaborate and can socialize with people they normally wouldn't have socialized or collaborated with before. I love that our students have that opportunity in this digital environment. It's just the opportunities are endless. So I just love that. It just presents more opportunities for them to learn and grow and also research on their own.
That's great. And we certainly were kind of forced to figure out so much about technology in the past year and a half, yeah?
Yes.
So on the scarier side, Charmaine, talk to us about some of the misinformation that exists virtually and why it can have such a negative effect on our youth.
Certainly. Of course, it's great that they have so much information at their fingertips, but there is that danger. There's the danger of misinformation at their fingertips. Some of the important things that I tell students, I used to teach a middle school computer development class, web design class, and I would teach them how to create their own websites. And at the end of those lessons, I would tell those middle school students, you see how easy it is for you to create a website? There's no peer review process. There is nothing. All you do is buy a domain, code your HTML, and boom, you put a website out there. So I would teach them to be critical consumers of information, to use their critical thinking skills beyond just, oh, it's on the web, it must be true, to be, you know, mindful and do their research, to fact check, to validate information that they see. And just because something has a bunch of retweets or likes doesn't mean that, oh, it must be true. So I think our youth need to understand that and understand that that is such a negative effect of having so much information at their fingertips, is that, oh my goodness, you know, is this true? Is this not? And we're in, they're so vulnerable in that they think, oh, it's out there, it must be true, that they don't fact check and they don't criticize or get into the information and do their research. They just take it as fact.
That is really scary. And I think you make a great parallel of, yeah, if it's so easy for me to do it, it would be so easy for anybody else. So for our parents and caregivers who are listening today, what can we as adults do to help educate our youth and protect them?
So as I mentioned earlier, I do have two teenage sons and I have a 6-year-old daughter. So my advice is not coming to you from not only a professional role, but also a personal role and things I do with my kids. So for instance, they have smartphones. I enable all of the parental controls. They hate it. You know, there are so many things now you can do with a smartphone. You go in the settings, you can set what content they can see, what they can't see. There's softwares out there that you can download that can turn their phones off at a certain hour and prevent them from going onto sites that they shouldn't be going onto. You know, you can also, for your internet service provider, whether it's Verizon, Comcast, you can reach out to them. They'll show you how to set internet filters on your home network so that your child, even though they get on the Wi-Fi in your home, it's also filtered. And again, with all the parental controls out there, the best parameter is to sit and just talk to your children. Explain to them the dangers of what's out there. Explain to them about friending strangers online. Explain to them about believing everything or providing their, you know, debit card number online because someone say they need to verify their information, and explaining to them not to share personal information online. As I've told parents in the past, that's the best thing that you can do, because you can set all the parental controls you want, but if you don't educate the child on why they shouldn't be doing that, they're just going to be inquisitive and they're going to figure it out and how to get, because I have my son, he's like in computer science. He already figured out how to bypass the filters that I set. So I had to take a different approach with him, and rather blocking him, I had to explain, hey, son, you're going to see some inappropriate things on the web. You shouldn't forward it. You shouldn't share it. Just close it and move on. And I think that's the best advice, is to educate, use it as a teachable moment to say, okay, there's some stuff out there. It's going to be pretty inappropriate for you to engage with, and how to deal with that. But certainly you could still put the parental controls, but still educate your child.
I'm shaking my head as you're saying this, Charmaine, because it, you know, I always think I know this stuff or I've heard this before. What you're saying though strikes such a chord, because it's just, it's parenting and mentoring kids in general, right? That we put the controls in place that we can, but that connection and communication with our kids and talking about safety is more important than any control we can do. It's a balance.
Yes, it is.
That's great information. Thank you. Yeah. And I assume that keeping kids safe online also has something to do with the age of the child, right? That we do different things for different ages.
You know, you would think. However, I've seen so much inappropriate behavior and spreading of misinformation from teens and adults. So it really starts with ourselves. The better we can educate ourselves on how not to spread misinformation, the better we can prepare our youth. So for instance, there's so many times you go on Facebook and you've seen people retweet things that are not true. It's clickbait. They see a news article and people retweet it, they repost it, they like it. And what people don't realize, just because something has a lot of likes, a lot of retweets, doesn't mean that that is true. People hire what are called bots. Bots are computer programs that you can program to even tweet for you, to say human phrases, to unfollow, follow accounts. So companies now employ these. And they like to push out a lot of misinformation sometimes, so that people, they're, you know, vulnerable. They think, oh, this has 20,000 retweets, it must be true. Or it has 10,000 likes, it must be true. And people have to just realize that a lot of what you see isn't, or it's a machine behind a machine spreading that misinformation.
So the quality and the quantity are not necessarily the same. Just the quantity of likes or retweets doesn't mean that the quality of the information
is okay. Exactly.
And Charmaine, you used a word that I think we're familiar with, but I always want to make sure we don't leave anybody out with vocabulary. Tell me what clickbait means in the technology world.
Right. Clickbait is, for instance, me making a headline that's attention-grabbing. It's sensational. It's, you can win $10,000 drinking 2 cups of water or something ridiculous. People will not actually click the link to read the article. It's, oh, this is must be something, and it gravitate towards it. And they may open it, but they may read the first couple of lines. That is what is clickbait. It's really almost bait that you're throwing out into the sea, and you want to grab as many fish or vulnerable people that you can. And usually it's those that people say, you can win this amount of money, just pass this along or do this. Those are what we call clickbait. It's just something that's sensational, is usually too good to be true, and it causes people to, exactly, it's bait. They throw out the bait and they hope you click on it.
And what you said about the most vulnerable fish, I mean, I think about our kids are potentially those most vulnerable fish. They see something exciting, it looks great, and they might not have the background knowledge to think this really isn't true.
Right. I tested my son one time. I created a fake Google Voice number. I text his phone. He's really into his Xbox. And I said, hey, send me your card number, because he has a little card.
Oh.
Send me your card number and I'll send you this many dollars in Microsoft bucks. And sure enough, what did he do? He sent me his card number. And I used that as a teachable moment. I said, you see how easily you gave me your card number? I could have emptied out your account and you would have left with nothing. And I could see he was 12 at the time. The little light bulb went off and he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it. I thought it was real.
Right. How easily we're tricked.
Yes. So you're right. Our youth are our most vulnerable because sometimes they just don't know better.
And I assume that's one of those times where your kids look at you like, why do you have to have this job?
Yes.
That's not fair.
Yes.
Can you give us some suggestions on how we can start teaching our kids to be informed and safe virtual users?
Yes, certainly you want to teach our kids to be mindful of what they post. I always tell students that if you wouldn't put it out on a billboard with your name, then don't put it out there. To also be mindful and turn the location services off. Every application, every program that you download on your phone, we used to back in the day, it was called geotagging, where anytime you would post or put anything out there, it included your exact location. Now, a lot of the smartphones have that feature turned off and they'll ask for your permission. Can we enable location services? Some of them say all the time, only while using this app, or never. Again, youth are very vulnerable, so they'll just, they want to play that game immediately. So they say, oh, all the time you can have access to my location, not realizing that if they go now onto Snapchat or TikTok and post a funny video, they included their location of where they are. So another helpful thing is to ensure whatever applications you're using, that is turned off.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't even know that. Even on Facebook, a lot of times these third-party applications, for instance, will ask, can they share your information or have access to your information, which is your friends list, where you live, everything. A lot of times, just to play those little funny games on Facebook to say, what kind of animal are you? You're giving this third-party application access to everything, not realizing they want your data. They want to know what you click, what your interests are, who your friend lists are, so then I can use them and get their information too. So you have to teach kids also how to be cognizant of what information that they're sharing to not friend strangers. Some of these seem very just, you know, duh, would never do that.
Right.
But you would think, and you have, when I say strangers, sometimes strangers can be your friends, meaning someone can steal a profile picture of one of your friends, create a fake profile, and you think, oh, I know this person. And you have to really look into that. And a lot of times I'll call a friend and say, hey, did you create a new page? No, I didn't. Oh, okay, someone's impersonating you. So you just have to, it's really hard to do. Again, we're in this society now where everything is so quick. Everybody wants to be on the new trend. I want to make a TikTok. You know, I want to have all these followers, and not realizing the dangers that comes with
that. Yeah, and what you're describing to me sounds so much like just slowing down, stopping. And before I say, of course I want to buy this, or of course I want to play this, helping our kids realize just like stop, look around, make a good choice. Again, these are just good life lessons for our youth, but hard to teach because the internet encourages us to move quickly. As you know, we're calling this podcast series The Gift of Information because we believe that being informed is such a valuable thing for our citizens. We want all of our residents, young and old, to have the tools they need to be accurately informed and help their peers do the same. If a child sees something online that they feel is unsafe or inappropriate, what can we as adults tell our youth to do in that situation?
Always, always, always report suspicious or inappropriate online behavior. I don't care how small you think it is. If you're witnessing someone bullying someone else, tell an adult, tell a trusted adult. It is really, truly, if you see something, say something. For instance, I would notice that one of my friend's account started posting stuff about cryptocurrency. I knew she wasn't into that. So I called her and let her know. And sure enough, her account had been hacked.
Wow.
So I always tell people, if something doesn't seem right, you know, that little red flag goes off, say something, tell an adult or tell that friend, I think your account is compromised. Someone's tweeting things that I know you wouldn't talk about or posting things that you wouldn't post. So I tell students all the time, always report suspicious, inappropriate behavior.
Gotcha. And I know, you know, this information is so good all year, but especially with us going into winter break when schools are closed. If a child reports to their family something that they think is not right on the internet, where do our parents go? Are they contacting the school? Who are they reaching out to?
Certainly. I was going to share some resources with families, but the FBI has a tip line. The Federal Trade Commission has a tip line. The U.S. Department of Justice has a tip line. They all have tip lines, especially if it's the exploitation of a child or something more serious. However, if it's something like bullying at a school, definitely contact the administrator in the building to let them know. We have a See Something, Say Something reporting app on our website, ccboe.com, where a parent or anyone could just anonymously report, hey, my child last night was on TikTok and we saw another student posting, you know, a picture of a gun or doing something. So we always encourage parents, if you see something, say something, contact our school district, report it on our See Something, Say Something app, or just call the principal and let them know. Or if it's something really serious, contact the police. There's tip lines with the Department of Justice, FBI, Federal Trade Commission. They all have tip lines.
That's awesome information. Thank you. And comforting to know that even when schools are closed, that See Something, Say Something line exists and can be used for technology stuff also. That's
certainly
great. For our listeners who may not have children at home, Charmaine, but are leaders in youth groups, family members, volunteers, or just concerned citizens, what more can we as a community do to keep our youth safe online? I think we've heard the expression being used in terms of our kids' physical health. You know, we can be a cocoon around them. What about our kids' virtual health and safety? How do we as a community step in and support?
For one, we can encourage our kids to always be safe online. We can always encourage them to take a break sometimes. You don't have to be so connected. We have a rule in my home. We're at the dinner table, all phones are face down. When we're out to eat, disconnect. It's okay to disconnect. I think kids think they're going to miss something sometimes. They're always into their phones. And I tell our youth leaders, our pastors, encourage them to disconnect sometimes. I know they wanted to jump on the wave. A lot of church groups are creating Facebook accounts, Twitter accounts, and TikTok accounts, trying to be cool with them. And I said, encourage them for their mental health to take a break, to read a book, to take a walk, to take a run, to do something not technology related. And that's the best advice I think I can give if you don't have children, is to just encourage that outside of the home. Even in the schools, I would tell teachers, it's okay to have closed lid time where they're not always on the laptop. Certainly, we can still pick up a book and read, you know, and I tell my kids that all the time. Put your phone down. The world is going to continue to happen. It's okay to put your phone down. It's so funny when we're at dinner. I always watch to see who's itching to pick their phone up.
Yeah, it's that feeling. I got to look right now.
Adults, too. Adults. I can be in meetings, and I'll just pan the room, and I watch adults. They can't sit with it so many minutes without someone having to pick their phone up and look and search, you know?
Definitely. So I think we all are guilty of that at times, as adults, that we have to show kids that if we can do it, they can do it.
Certainly.
Yeah, that's tough. Oh, Charmaine, thank you for providing so much information about how to keep youth safe online. I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge and time today, as well as all the work you do day to day to ensure that our Charles County Public School students have the technology and tools they need. I know that the past two school years have obviously been incredibly challenging and required more access to innovative technology than we even ever considered before. So thank you so much for leading that effort.
Anytime. It certainly takes a village to raise our youth, and we can only do that together as a team. Always happy to share and pass along helpful information to help any parent, adult, or caretaker.
And you shared so much good information with us today. I know that for parents and caregivers who are already balancing so much, this information can feel really overwhelming, I'm sure. Can you please tell our listeners the best resources they have access to that references a lot of what you've shared today? And of course, we'll put those references in the show notes as well.
Certainly. Consumer.ftc.gov has a section on protecting kids online. As I mentioned earlier, FBI Kids has a site. I have a lot of resources there for parents. SOSFBI.gov, that's safe online surfing for students.
Great.
You can send kids there to do safe internet searches. And then definitely the U.S. Department of Justice, justice.gov, has a site for how to support safe internet surfing for your students as well.
Perfect. Thank you. And is there anything else you want to share with our residents as an expert in technology, as a representative of Charles County Public Schools, or as another parent?
Most certainly. I think the most cost-effective way is to simply talk to your children, listen to them. I think we're so busy with our lives, with work, with, you know, the holiday season. We often don't listen to our children. We don't listen to our kids. Listen to them. A lot of times they may speak up and tell you what's going on. They just want someone to listen, and also talk to them.
Thank you. And especially good reminders when we're going to be at home together with family and the holidays can feel so frantic and hectic sometimes. A good reminder to stop and slow down and, like you said, disconnect from the technology and just connect as people. Thank you again for being here today, Charmaine Thompson, Chief of Instructional Technology for Charles County Public Schools.
Thank you.
That wraps up our podcast for today, as well as the December podcast series, The Gift of Information. As a reminder, if you missed our first two episodes on how to identify misinformation on the internet with Charles County Government's Public Information Officer Jennifer Harris, and our second episode, how to avoid online financial scams with Charles County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Michael Smith, you can find and listen to these two episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Charles County Government. And if you found the information that we have shared helpful, please pass the gift of information along. Share this information and encourage your friends and family to tune into this podcast series as well. Visit our website, www.charlescountymd.gov. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to the county's e-news. Sign up for our text and email alerts through the Citizen Notification System. And watch CCG TV on Comcast Channel 95 or Verizon Fios 10. We're also now streaming on Apple TV and Roku devices. Just search Charles County Government. You can subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts by searching Charles County Government or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thank you again for listening. Take care, stay safe, and stay engaged.